Hola, hola, my name is Ricardo. I am the host of the Lucha Jobbers podcast here in the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We are a Spanish-speaking show dedicated to discussing and analyzing pro wrestling from all across the world. From AW to CMLL, we talk about American wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and of course, Lucha Libre. If something big happened in the pro wrestling world, we will talk about it. So if you know Spanish or have a friend that knows Spanish or want to practice your Lucha Libre pronunciations, go listen to the Lucha Jobbers podcast right here in the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. Nos vemos por ahí.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track when we unite.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert. And the prodigal son has returned, JD by God, Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I don't know, my friend. I don't. Like, some days I feel, sometimes, not days, there's times of the day I feel really good, and there's times of the day I don't. So, but that's okay. It's part of the process, right?
Yeah. Sometimes, like, you'll be doing fine, and then, like a weird memory will just pop up, like, just randomly, and then it'll just fuck with you.
Yeah.
And dude, you know, and we're pretty open guys, and you kind of know about my story a little bit. So I lost both my parents when I was in my 20s, like back to back. And like, just, you know, and this was in 2009 and 2011. So we're talking like years and years removed. To this day, like, I'm like mostly fine, but then every once in a while I'll just be reminded of something and I'll be like, oh man, you know, and then it kind of just hits you. And then so you process it, you talk about it, and then you just keep living, man.
Mm-hmm. I lost my mom in 01 and then dad last week. So, you know, it's kind of going through it again. And like, I wrote about it last week, and, you know, it was funny. Those first 2 days after he died, I felt like relieved. Like, I felt like the weight was off and like he wasn't suffering anymore. And I actually felt pretty good. And then I'm like, I'm going to write about this. And I wrote. And after that, usually writing feels like cathartic, and I feel like I could let go. Man, no, it was the exact opposite. After I wrote that, I went to a Panera parking lot for 2 hours, and I just sat in my car. I just sat there. Yeah. And didn't do anything. And then I started getting emotional. And then it was like, after that, it was kind of tough. And then I brought the JD Oliva project back, and I did like a big free episode. It's gotten a ton of views, and I've gotten a ton of people reached out to me to talk about, you know, one to say they liked it, which was cool. But I had a lot of people sharing their stories with me, and like, you know, wanting to talk about stuff on their own. It's been a thing, man. I mean, it's been cool. And I fear that I've given people the wrong idea about what we do here. Like, yeah. People like, man, you're really good at this, talking about these kind of things. You should do this all the time. Like, I don't think I can open up veins that frequently. Like, I mean, mostly Mike and I make dick jokes about pro wrestling on this thing. And I don't think I have that in me to do that every single week, but it's nice to hear those things. The one thing I've noticed I do is I deflect, and I think about, and I was telling you before the show, like, I think I hyper focus on things that don't matter, so I don't have to think about my dad. Like, I'll have an incident with a friend or a run in with a friend, and it'd be like, I'll just dwell on it, like a positive interaction. I'd be like, man, that was so negative, this is wrong, and like, there's no reason to do that. Or like, I had a big fight with my wife the other night, and we never fight, and like, I think I'm still just like, my brain is like, I don't want to think about this thing, so I'm going to think about this thing here that doesn't matter. And it's just, I don't know, man, the human brain is weird. I'm getting help right now. So hopefully we can move past this. But like, man, I'm excited to be back and talking to you again. I haven't talked to many like people outside my inner circle in a couple weeks. So it's nice to see my friend again.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see you. We missed you last week, but I gotta give a shout out to Mr. He goes by Mr. Warren Hayes. We've been trying to get him on the podcast for a while. He had to go and have like a heart issue, took him out of podcasting for a while. But
selfish.
Yeah, but he is fully healthy now, and he was like looking to dip his toes back into streaming, so he graced us with his presence just last week. And check out Warren's YouTube, everybody. You can just look it up on Mr. Warren Hayes. He's, and then all the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, check him out. He is back. He has done several streams since then. He's kind of putting me to shame. Like I do a lot of streaming, but Warren, fresh off his deathbed not that long ago, was back just grinding and kicking ass on his streaming game. So everybody go check out Warren. Thank you very much, Warren. Last week, man, I thought he was going to get us in trouble when he's talking about old Maxine Dupree, but we didn't take too much heat, so that's awesome.
That's good.
I thought he had some really great takes, and he fits in well with this show.
I heard that, and I'm like, oh man, well, at least someone else buried besides me. So
yeah. Yeah,
I heard glad we didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, I heard where he was going with that. And I was like, oh, I'm going to stay out of this. I'm going to let him handle this.
Well, Warren's got like, he's got a crude interest with the female wrestling fan base, you know,
yeah,
with his significant other being a major voice in women's wrestling coverage. So I think he gets a little bit of leeway that, you know, you or I would not. So, you know,
well, because you could tell that he's being honest and he's not saying that to just be a dick. You know what I mean? Like he like knows it and studies it. And like, it's
unlike us.
Yeah. And like us. Yeah. We just kind of dismiss things that we'd
just be a dick.
Yeah. We're just dicks. Yeah. So he actually comes at it from like an intelligent level. So, thank you again, Warren. Everybody go check out Mr. Warren Hayes. And then if you're here, if you're watching on YouTube, Voices of Wrestling or the Micah JD Show YouTube network, please give us a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button. I would greatly appreciate it. And then if you like this content, head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. You can get this show ad free and right in your ear holes immediately. You can also get the Brace for Impact. JD said he's going to be doing some more JD Oliva projects coming up soon. We got all kinds of stuff. So all kinds of stuff. And plus overtime, man. Overtime with Mike and JD. It's making a return. We did our whole Sting series, and that is going to continue this weekend as JD and I will. We're going to finish off the Sting series with Sting's greatest rivals, the Young Bucks. I think that's the appropriate way to cap off the whole series.
I agree. I'm looking forward to doing some more JD Oliva Project stuff. I just finished a fucked up book this morning on the way to work. Can't wait to talk about it.
Nice. So since we were talking about Sting and Sting's greatest rivals, let's not really get into, we're not going to do like a blow-by-blow, play-by-play of AEW Revolution. And I want to save the talk for the main event for our Sting series coming up on Patreon. So JD, this has been a tremendous week in AEW.
For sure.
One of my favorite weeks since I've been following the company, AEW Revolution. I want to get where you're at because we have not heard from you in a little bit. AEW Revolution, where does that stand for you as far as all-time great AEW pay-per-views?
I don't know, man. I hate doing this. I hate ranking things. You know,
I know, but we're on a podcast. We need to put ourselves out there and get ridiculed for it later. That's what we do.
Fair. That's true. And this is how I get myself ridiculed because I don't rank things. I think rankings are stupid. I just don't. I don't know. I mean, like, I'll say this. I think it's the best AEW pay-per-view I've seen probably since Forbidden Door. Right?
Yeah.
And if not better than that, like I was blown away by this show. Like I think everyone's kind of going back to this whole restore the feeling thing, and I think that's the way to say it. Like this was a work rate pay per view. Like this is like all the wrong people are mad about it. Maybe O'Shea Jackson Jr. I don't know. I'm blocked. I can't tell you. I'm just happy the company has found its footing again, and it gets to be an unabashed pro wrestling company, and. When everyone's mad about Darby Allin taking a bump off the top of a ladder through a plate glass window, not plate glass, it's actually sugar glass. People are like, oh my God, can you believe this? And when Jim Cornette, the guy who blew his knees, falling from a similar height, not as well, is going to talk about someone being stupid, I just find the whole thing to be just,
You know what? So here's the thing. I think we can all agree that what Darby did was pretty stupid. Smart human beings don't do that. That doesn't mean it wasn't also awesome and like fun to watch. Like that's him. He's an adult. I think he might be an adult anyway. But he's an adult. He can make his own decisions. If he wants to do something stupid for my entertainment, go ahead.
I don't care. Like, am I? Yeah. Like, maybe that makes me a bad person, but let's be honest. Pro wrestling is fucking stupid. Like, we can't say, I hate the pearl clutching as we've been watching people kill themselves for 30, 40 years. Like, I love watching All Japan Wrestling. Those guys were destroying themselves in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Killing themselves. Yeah. Masawa's dead. Like, that's just where we are. I mean, like, we watch pro football, right? Those guys are killing themselves. Like, Darby's just doing it a little bit more theatrically. Right. And he's just putting it more in your face. And like I said, he walked away from it. It's fine. Like,
Got some stitches. I mean it could have been real bad, but thankfully. Bad. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Like, if he asked my advice, I'd be like, brother, that's not where I would go. I don't think you need to do that. I think the best part, I already said we weren't going to get into the main event. We're already into the main event.
Right? Here we are.
But the best parts of the match, the most dramatic parts of the match was just, you know, Young Bucks and Sting, you know, doing their stuff. I felt that Darby's stunt early in the match was hilarious. And, but if they didn't have it, I think the match would have been just as good. Like, that would have been my advice, but I'm not mad that he did it. I go for it. Fuck it.
I'm of the mind that, like, I had some guy who's mad that he said overshadowed Sting's retirement. I was like, shut up.
Oh my gosh.
Like, grow the fuck up. Yeah. Like, Sting wanted to lose his match. I mean, like, at the same time, he made Darby Allin a player in the professional wrestling landscape. So Darby had his moment in the match. It was a tag team match. Like, everyone just loses their fucking minds when it comes to AEW. Like, these ratings, they slipped a little bit this week. The NBA was good. The AEW was down a little bit, but it wasn't like who cares? This happens all the time. Things go up, things go down, oftentimes for no reason. You're going to build new stars and it's going to take some time for the ratings to catch up. Whatever, man. I don't, I'm so over this argument. Yes.
Hey, are you trying to say that AEW didn't completely waste their money on Ospreay and Okada because the number dipped this week? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I think anybody who gets their panties into a bunch about the whole thing needs to get a grip, man. Like, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, we've seen it happen. I'll never forget. I went to the show in Chicago with CM Punk versus MJF for the first time during that blizzard. I remember leaving from practice. I'll never forget that. And it did a bad rating and everybody freaked out, but they sold a shit ton of pay-per-views and it moved up. Like, it's just like, it's just week to week rate. I mean, if you look at things so granular week to week, it just, things happen. And I don't understand arguing about this stuff week to week anymore. I just don't, especially when WWE's waving the flag and they're going to Netflix. Like, I don't understand why anyone cares anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, I think I'm with you because I got to the point where, like, on Brace for Impact, I don't even talk about the ratings because, like, they, you know, TNA, I think last week they had like 85,000. I think in like January they were averaging around right around 100,000. They sold 60,000 pay-per-views for Hard to Kill. Like, ratings are important. But I don't think they're so important that they need to be debated and talked about every single week. Now, should Tony Khan, like, look into why the rating dipped?
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like, we all know why it dipped, because they didn't have anything announced for the show. It's like, and then Kyle Fletcher's a new star. Will Ospreay's new to the company. Like, he's not a draw yet. He's going to be. Like, they're going to put him in a position to get there. They're already making him feel like a big deal. They put him in the main event on his first show, against Kyle Fletcher, who's got a belt that nobody cares about, nobody's ever going to care about. And but you know, that's for whatever. The match was awesome. Next time they see Kyle Fletcher, maybe more people want to see him. What I mean? Like, everyone needs to chill.
Like, and here's the thing too: how often does the rating, just for any pro wrestling show, do the ratings peak for the main event? It's rare, ever. Yeah. Rare if ever, if it happens. Like, Dave was saying too, like, WWE puts two stars in the main event every week and it always dips. Yeah. Always. So why do we have to, I don't understand why we have to litigate things following a path, because, like, it was down a little bit. It's been consistent, right? It'll probably go up next week for the debut of Money, and, like, all right, then it'll find its average again. I mean, this is just what it is. And I don't understand why we need to litigate this shit every week. And why people need to slit their veins because, oh my God, it's down. And why these WWE nerds have to, like, Tony Khan.
AEW in the mud. They wasted all this money. Yeah, I do think that, going forward for Will Ospreay, because, I am of the opinion that he's the guy. like very yeah. much like he comes across as like the biggest star in the company to me right now.
Yeah.
Like he when he gets into the ring, like fans are going crazy before the bell even rings. You know what I mean? It's not like Takeshita was like over before that match. Like people like Takeshita. He's a good wrestler, but he's not over. Mm-hmm. Will mm-hmm. Ospreay gets in the ring and that fucking crowd, like he was like the second biggest star on the show behind Sting. You know what I mean? In Greensboro. And I think that's your guy. And then like he got another tremendous ovation on Dynamite. I think he is your guy. You know, they need to start putting him in like prime positions to be able to succeed. Like, hey, what segment is our typical most viewed segment? Okay, that's the segment we need to put Ospreay in. You know what I mean? Like we need to start building this thing around him and geared towards, you know, or Samoa Joe putting the title on him and then him going into the UK as your champion for Wembley Stadium. Like I'm fully believe that.
I'm of the mind that I think we're going to see Swerve versus Ospreay. I think that's my prediction.
Yeah.
Cause it seems like we had a double turn, you know, that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. We absolutely got it. Did you notice that Hangman, I haven't heard anybody mention this. Maybe I'm wrong. I just haven't been on Twitter as much lately. Did you notice Hangman was wearing pink and black tights?
I did not notice that.
Yeah. Hanger was
that's a good catch.
Hanger had some pink and black tights and I'm like, oh, nobody's seeing this. I'm seeing this. Cause they did their own version of the Austin Hitman thing, their own version of WrestleMania 13. Cause that was a straight up double turn last week to the point where Swerve's out there, like confessing his sins and saying, karma got me. I need to be better. You know, he did not take the easy way out and Hangman's beating the shit out of referees. Like, oh, we got a straight up double turn. So it seems like it'll be Swerve will be the next guy. And then I think that's what you want to do. I think you want to make moves so that by the summertime you have Ospreay ready to be the guy because he's the greatest wrestler in the world right now. And I don't think there's a close second. He's incredible.
He's going to go down as one of the greatest ever. And I know that people are like, oh, well, he's never drawn. Well, he's in a position now where he's going to be able to do that. Right. Because in New Japan, he was a gaijin. And so they were never really going to get fully behind him. They put the title on him. They put him in some big matches, but he was never the guy. You know what I mean? In AEW, he's going to have that opportunity to be able to become a real, like, big-time draw in North America. And I fully believe, I don't see any reason why he couldn't get there. I mean, like, in-ring work, second to none. Best in the world right now. The guy has big room charisma, and I think that was one of the things that, like, you know, people might have been worried about because he's mostly over on the indies, and then he got himself over in Japan. It takes a different type of wrestler to get over in Japan. But that charisma has immediately translated to the States to where, like, he's on the same show as Okada, and I have such reverence for Okada and everything he's done in Japan, but I see the two guys standing next to each other, and I'm like, Ospreay is your guy. Nothing against Okada, but Ospreay is the guy. You know what I mean?
Ospreay's 30. So, I mean, like, Ospreay is just starting to get into his, like, Ospreay is just really starting to hit his stride as a pro wrestler, right? I mean, like, he's a veteran. He knows what to do. He's really found that comfort in himself, personality-wise, that I think took him a little while to figure out. Like, I don't think Ospreay really found his ground as a character until the United Empire stuff, right? And even then, it took a little while for him to get totally comfortable as a personality. And I think he's there. I think he's going to be the baby face this company's needed, you know? And I don't know that bothers some people because of maybe he's a little bit of a meathead, but there's something about Ospreay, the character, that is really likable. Right. And there's something about watching him work that's awesome. And find me a better looking move in professional wrestling than the Hidden Blade. Find me. There's nothing that's as devastating in pro wrestling currently than the Hidden Blade. Nothing.
Yeah. I think the close second is the Storm Driver. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, he's incredible. Like, I think I don't think I'm on an island with this. I think he's the best wrestler on the planet right now. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can argue it.
No. And it's now, will that translate to ticket sales and pay-per-views? Well, now he's got a shot. Now we're going to find out. And I think that it will. Now Okada is now he is completely all elite. He is signed with AEW. It was announced on Wednesday night or last night at Dynamite. He came out, and not only that, the Young Bucks have fired Kenny Omega permanently and have suspended Hangman Adam Page. And Okada is now heel Okada. He's in AEW. Tony Khan was not about to be outbid, man. And sure. And we saw did you see the number, the dollar figure amount?
4.5 million a year sounds like a lot of money. I don't know if it's real, yeah. But I want to. That's a lot of money for a professional wrestler.
Well, it's coming from Tokyo Sports. Now, I don't know. Is Tokyo Sports like legit, or is that like
that's a Justin Nipper question. Yeah. I don't know if they'll play kayfabe, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get those numbers about anybody. That sounds like a lot of money. I mean, I know they're paid a lot for them, but 4.8 or whatever it was, 4.5. That's a lot of money
over 3 years.
Mike, you buried the lead. He Okada's in the elite. He's not just elite. He is being the elite. Yes. He's the new Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, he is like the Young Bucks fired Kenny and they suspended Hangman and they brought in. So, yeah, he is the new head of the elite. And I think this is the perfect spot for him.
Me too.
I really do. Like, I thought his heel stuff that he was doing with Kaito Kiyomiya last year was fucking incredible.
Oh.
I thought it was tremendous. Like, just heelish dickhead Okada with the Young Bucks terrorizing, and then they're immediately putting him in with Eddie Kingston, and he's going to beat the shit out of Kingston, and it's going to be awesome.
It's such smart booking. I get so tired of people say, Tony Khan doesn't know how to book. Like, Eddie Kingston is the most sympathetic, beloved baby face on that roster. No one is more beloved than Eddie Kingston. And who's the guy you put him with? Okada. This dude who is loved, but now no one's going to choose Okada over Eddie Kingston as far as sympathy goes, because Okada is a great dickhead, right? Yeah. And I think that making him a heel is a bold move, but I think it's the right move, because Osprey is your new top baby face. So now you can bring in Okada as your heel, and then when Kenny Omega comes back, ain't no one gonna boo him. So now you have a chance to reignite one of professional wrestling's greatest rivalries.
Yeah,
like, I think this is just genius booking. I really do.
Yeah, they set up so much, because not only can they do Okada versus Kingston and put the belt immediately over on Okada. The what is it, Continental? They got too many. They got
Continental.
Too many belts, the Continental. Belts. Yeah, the Continental belt. Now people are like, oh, why would Okada want the New Japan Strong belt? He's not going for the New Japan Strong. So that whole Triple Crown thing was bullshit. That I think they've dropped that immediately. That was just something that they wanted to call Eddie.
The Continental Crown, my friend. Continental Crown.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like the AEW Triple Crown, because it had the Ring of Honor TV title or Ring of Honor title.
It still does. New Japan.
I know, but like he's defending them in separately, right? And so I think Okada's just going for the Continental Championship.
I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know how crazy New Japan is with having one of their belts lined up in something called the Triple Crown. Yeah. Right. I imagine New Japan's like, maybe not. Maybe not that. But yeah, I think it's great. Give Okada a belt. We got 20 of them. Give him a belt. Who cares? Give him any belt. Any belt will do. Like, and then it gives Eddie something to do that's interesting, right? He just got Bryan Danielson's respect. Now he's going to try to earn Kazuchika Okada's and not get it. Like, if we just get an American version of the Kiyomiya feud with Eddie Kingston, I'm in. I'm happy to see it again.
Yeah, because I could see Okada doing a very good job of, like, treating Eddie like Eddie's beneath him, much like he did to Kaito. Because, look, Eddie's like, he's, like, slovenly, I would say. Like, probably never been to the gym. Like, he probably takes a shot of whiskey and smokes a cigarette as he's warming up for his match. You know what I mean? And so like I could see, and like here comes Okada, like this Adonis in a suit. He's like tall, he's tan, he's handsome as shit. He's one of the best athletes in pro wrestling. Like the polar opposite of what Kingston is. I think the feud is perfect.
So do I. Wife's an actress. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Like Okada's like Japanese royalty coming over here, and Eddie Kingston is just he's your uncle, right? Yeah. Which is the appeal of what makes Eddie Kingston work.
Right.
And, Eddie's kind of sloppy in the ring, but he's so believable. And he's so, like, he's going to get on that microphone and just pour his heart out, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I said I can't open a vein every week. Eddie does it all the time. Eddie's gashing himself and he just emotes on the people, and everybody loves it. And Okada's just going to laugh at him. Oh, my God, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And I love him being in the elite, because it immediately puts him in like the top heel faction in the company, like day one.
And it also gives new life to the elite, because the elite as a group really haven't mattered since 2021, honest to God, or probably since they lost those, the trios belts. But even then it was like, it wasn't what it was. Now you put Kazuchika Okada there, all of a sudden the Elite means something again, and it means something new. Like, it's different. Like, with Okada, it's just, it's a fresh coat of paint. I love it. I love this. I think it's great booking. I really do.
Yeah. I think Tony Khan, and he's on a roll right now. Booking this year, because I think he just got away from the hokey shit whenever MJF took off, you know. And I don't know why, it just seemed like when MJF was at the top and they were doing the hokey shit with MJF and Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, that like the rest of the company kind of started to follow suit. And so they started to had a trickle down effect.
It did.
And then once MJF took off, and then they put like the realest motherfucker in the room, Samoa Joe, as your heavyweight champion. And in my opinion, the best heavyweight champion in all of pro wrestling right now. Once they put him, like, now all of a sudden, aside from Tony Storm, like the trickle down effect is like, now everybody's like stepping up their badass game, right? Because like they're taking on the likeness of the champion almost.
I like what you're saying here. I'm of the mind the heavyweight champion dictates the tone for what the company is. And I think that if you go back and look through the course of history, I think you'll see that that's true. Like, the identity of the champion reflects upon what the promotion is. And because like, think about Moxley in the pandemic era. It was raw, it was gritty. We were just kind of fighting to get by. And that's the Moxley character, right? And like, I think that with MJF, we saw that reflection. And now that we have Joe as the champion, I'm in no rush to take that belt off Joe. I think Joe is freaking awesome. But I think that his attitude has permeated the card and has permeated the promotion. And now AEW feels like Joe's company. That was funny. I was watching this. I'm like, 5 years ago, I totally had Samoa Joe versus Shane Strickland as the world title feud in this company. It's just freaking wild.
Yeah, I could have saw it in NXT, honestly, but here now it's AEW. Yeah,
yeah, crazy. It's crazy. I'm happy for it.
And now as we look ahead to Dynasty, and we'll transition topics here soon. As we start to look ahead to Dynasty, they didn't announce it, but they basically told us what the big match for that card is. And it's Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. And holy shit. Like, I like that when they signed Danielson, I love the fact that the first thing they did was put him up against Omega. And it reminded me of TNA in 2006 when they brought in Kurt Angle. They fucking Joe. Just put him right in with Joe. I fucking love that. And I don't need like this in-depth backstory. You want to know why Bryan Danielson wants to fight Will Ospreay? Because Will Ospreay is the fucking best, and Danielson thinks he's the best, and that's all we need is two guys who think they're the best that want to fucking prove it. You know what I mean? It's going to be awesome.
So here's the thing that bothers me, and this comes from a lot of the people who grew up with the WWE who feel like you need that every match needs a story to it. And oftentimes we get these dumbass convoluted quote unquote stories to support these things. When I think people forget that in reality, these are supposed to be professional athletes. And professional athletes don't need a reason to have a fight or to have a match. They just want to do it because they want to prove that they're the best. And some people are like, well, that's not a good story. I say that's bullshit. Like, we watch it on sports every week, right? Is these athletes with their quest to be the best. And I don't see why it's a problem. Like, and this is where this is what I like, actually. I like that we're going back to the clear delineation between the companies. Right. Yeah. And I see this where people are like, oh, Tony can't book, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's this fine. Like, this is the problem last year. It's like AEW started embracing too much of what makes WWE successful and not enough about what made them successful. Now we're seeing those borders again. Right. Like, I want AEW to be the promotion where guys just want to be the best.
Yeah.
Right. And in WWE can be the promotion where guys bitch about Roman Reigns never defending the title.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. Let him be different. The more different you are, the better. And this is different. I love it, man. I fucking love it. Danielson's like, you're the best? No, I'm the best. Oscar's like, I'm the best. You know, that's it. That's all I need. Two guys trying to be the best.
Yeah. Danielson's like, if you want to prove yourself in this company, you got to go through me. Right. Mm-hmm. What you did against Takeshita doesn't matter. What you did against Kyle Fletcher doesn't matter. I'm the fucking measuring stick around here. I love
it. That's perfect. And what better way? Because we keep talking about having established Will Ospreay as the top guy in this company. What better way than beating Bryan Danielson?
Yeah. On Bryan Danielson's, like, I want to wrestle every guy I've ever loved tour. Right? Yeah. Isn't he Bryan Danielson? I know Ospreay may go down as like the greatest wrestler of all time, but Bryan Danielson probably has that like locked.
He's
in
the argument now. He is the barometer. So I mean, I can't wait to see what Danielson and Ospreay can do together. Because that's something we've never seen, and they're just going to go to it. I'm glad Tony's not hanging on to that match, because sometimes he hangs on to things. Like, we never really got the Elite versus the Undisputed Era, right? We never got it. They just thought it would work, and then injuries, and Bobby Fish went crazy, and, you know, it just never happened, right? Like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and go. Like, I'm a fan. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, all we need him to do is face off, and we got a match, and that is it. So yeah, AEW, in my opinion, and I know.
Okay, hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on, Stephen Patrick. It's hard to support Tony Khan's promotion as much of an ass as he's made himself, no matter how much of allowance he's been on the sandwich. Okay, listen to this dipshit motherfucker. I kind of want you off our show. Like, here's why you're stupid: is you're gonna sit there and support the company that was built upon rape and murder and pure evil and the people that supported it and built it up. But it bothers you that Tony Khan is occasionally on TV and occasionally he tweets stupid shit. That bothers you. But all the shit that the fucking piece of crap on the other company doesn't. You're fucking garbage. Get off our fucking show.
Yeah. WWE God, is currently
nuts.
WWE is currently embroiled in a sex trafficking case, but we want to complain about Tony Khan being a dick on Twitter.
I cannot fathom these people that try to have arguments about morality in professional wrestling when it comes to Tony Khan and Vince McMahon. And they're going to sit there and go, well, Vince is gone now. Who the fuck do you think enabled him for a decade or two? Who the fuck do you think built the systems that allowed him to do it? All the dipshits that are running the place now. Go fuck yourself with this high and mighty ego thing because some guy dared to challenge the Vince McMahon system. Blow it out your fucking ass. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, look. JD is all the way back, just like AEW is all the way back. The funny thing is like the next story that I was trying to get to was Vince McMahon. And now that JD is all hot and bothered by it, I want to talk about this story. So TKO Holdings, they said, I think it was Shapiro said this, that it was revealed earlier this week that McMahon was selling approximately 25% of his stock in TKO, which is the parent company of WWE and the UFC. McMahon is expected to receive more than $400 million from the sale. He'll still own approximately 8.3% of the company following a stock sale. While appearing at a press conference presented by investment banking company Morgan Stanley on Wednesday, Endeavor and TKO executive Mark Shapiro confirmed that TKO did not participate in the recent sale of McMahon's stock. And he said that we don't know his motives, his plan, or his timelines. He doesn't work for the company. He doesn't come into the office, and he's not coming back to the company. And that is where we sit. So TKO obviously just trying to get the McMahon stink off of them. Clearly a smart strategy, but yeah. I mean, they let the guy back on the board and they had all this information. So come on.
Yeah, no, this, they all know, like the fact that like,
I just misspoke. TKO didn't let him back on the board, but TKO bought the company and then put him like in a position of power after he had like left the company based off of some of these allegations. So I didn't misspeak.
But they know, like everyone there knows, like this is not a surprise because part of the lawsuit is Vince was showing everybody his phone. Hey, look at this. Like, that's why this is what I'm talking about. This is a company built upon this stuff. Like, abuse and rape and sex trafficking are part of the company's DNA. And the booker ain't turning a blind eye to stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is why that place disgusts me. And like, the worst part is Vince is just going to keep making money upon money. Like, he just made $400 million. And like, maybe he goes to jail. Probably not, because this is the United States of America, where rich people don't ever have to serve time for anything and get away with whatever they want all the time. But I mean, like, it's this morality thing from WWE fans who are clutching their pearls about, oh my God, Darby Allin could have hurt someone with that crush glass. Motherfucker, your hero raped people. Like, it's unfathomable to me. Unfathomable.
I think, Dude, I think Stephen Patrick might have taken a stray. Hold on. He's saying, I'm not even a WWE fan. I stopped watching in 06. And he's like,
shut up.
I watch TNA and NWA.
Oh, you watched the NWA? Go get out with Billy Corgan and his lizard people shit, that racist motherfucker. And I love the Smashing Pumpkins. Do not get me wrong. That guy's out of his goddamn mind. You're going to draw a line at Tony Khan and praise the NWA? Give me a break. Billy Corgan's a lunatic.
Yeah, well, he had Tyrus as the champion for like a year, didn't he?
Because he was on Fox News. He could get there and get the NWA title on Fox News, which is, like, let's be honest, the people that buy, like, collector's plates and stuff like that don't give a flying fuck about the National Wrestling Alliance. But, like, it's just, it's...
He did kind of take a stray though. He is absolving himself from being associated with WWE. So I don't want to insult the guy.
I'll bury the NWA. I'll bury the NWA.
Yeah.
No problem burying the NWA.
I think I'm pretty sure Steven's one of my Brace for Impact guys. Welcome. You can stay, Steven. I'm sorry. JD's been gone a while. Yeah. But I got my hands on the NCIS report. About the investigation they did into Ashley Massaro.
Okay.
I actually read through it. And it was a pretty tough read. They actually interviewed her her physician that actually saw her at in Kuwait that day. And I'm not going to get into the specific details of the report. If you guys want to check that out, BJ Bethel, our buddy from SC Scoops, he's actually been on the show many times. He had a tweet thread that I retweeted. So look up BJ Bethel on there, or go check out David Bixenspan's website. What's his, like, heel versus babyface, something like that?
Heel versus face.
Yeah. So he actually did like a deep dive into it. I read through it just to try to decipher some of the military terminology in there for some folks. And so I was able to take a look at that. One thing that I did gather is, like, yeah, they were able to interview some people that worked at the clinic that she might have been, that she definitely was seen at. So she was definitely seen at a clinic and was there getting seen for like some like pelvic issues and things like that without getting too into the weeds. One thing that I deciphered is, that the NCIS folks, so this was like AFOSI, Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and the Army Investigators, and the Naval Criminal Investigation Service, they all kind of did their own little thing. They got together. They interviewed tons of people, and I think people were kind of disturbed by the fact that they didn't interview a bunch of WWE people. I have actually asked some questions, and it looks like, and I haven't gotten anything official, and I'm not like, no, nobody quote me on this because I don't really have very well detailed information, but in the military, a lot of our jurisdiction stops with the military people, especially when it comes to stuff like this. They do have some jurisdiction over civilians depending on the issue, but a lot of where their power lies is with our own people. And so other federal agencies need to then go and invest and like interview the civilians and stuff like that. So they have to like partner up and get together. But essentially the NCIS, the military side, they just couldn't find like any evidence that what she was claiming happened, although she did get seen at a military clinic in Kuwait. And there was a discrepancy between like her saying she was at one clinic when she was actually seen at a different clinic, and that could be easily confused because when you go to Kuwait or when you go to like Afghanistan or Iraq, you're going to go to like a major base, right? And then when they do other USO tours, they go to like different forward operating bases and like different outposts that all have their different clinics and stuff like that. So that's probably what happened. And she was like, I went to Kuwait at Ali Al Salim. And then while she was there, she went to different outposts to go do the meet and greets. And then was seen at one of the outposts and just kind of got confused as to the name. So, so I think people trying to discredit her for that, like it was like so many years went by.
Yeah. And you're not from the country, so you don't know where you're going. You're being driven to places. You don't read the language. Like, I don't know. It's just, again, it's the people that are bending over backwards to protect their favorite childhood company. Right. Yeah. Disgusting. And a shame.
Yeah, and a shame. So again, I just want to give a shout out to BJ Bethel, our buddy. Best. And of course, I've been tough on old Bixenspan, but I think he did good work on this case too. And so he's got a lot of good information. We actually read through all 84 pages of the report. I only kind of skimmed through certain parts as requested.
Say what you want about Bix. He's one of the best investigators in the rest. I hate using this term, but I can't think of a better one. Wrestling space.
Yeah. Bix, investigative. Bix is- He's one of our very few investigative reporters, and BJ Bethel would kind of like be the other guy.
Yeah. So. And both guys are really good at research, and they're very good at finding things. Like, just listening to Bix's shows, you know, he's good at like parceling out information and digging. So, these are two good people that are working on this stuff. I know Bix has his critics, but I mean, when it comes to this stuff, he's one of the best.
Yep, he is. All right, so we're getting close. So let's do free agency outlook. And I have another name to add to free agency. So first name I want to toss out there, Mike Santana. Looks like he has finished up with All Elite Wrestling. Nobody really said whether or not he got fired or his contract expired. I think, you know, with the way AEW does business, probably contract.
Expired.
Yeah, but who knows? I know where I want him to go, because I happen to have a podcast where I think he'd fit in nicely on what I cover. But JD, where do you think he should go?
TNA. I think he should be headed for TNA. I don't know what TNA is looking to do though. Like with the whole, I didn't get to talk much about the Scott DeMore kerfluffle. Like that all started happening when I started having issues and stuff. So I don't kind of know what they want to do right now, but I think that old Mike Santana tried to reinvent himself and it just didn't quite take an AEW. I mean, he hasn't been a happy person in a while, and I hope he just finds somewhere he can be happy again. So I think TNA would be a pretty good fit for him, or TNA comeback. I don't know. Maybe WWE if that's it, but I mean, they don't seem to be signing a lot of older guys. So he's like in his early 30s, so not like old, but TNA would be a good fit.
Yeah. That's obviously my number one choice. I have a TNA podcast, and he's a TNA guy. Like that's where he made his name. That's how he got picked up by AEW. Because LAX came in and they were a great act in TNA. They were, you know, multiple time tag team, I think 4-time tag team champions there. And that's what got them signed by TNA, because they went to the Jericho Cruise and worked the Young Bucks. And they were like day one AEW guys. They had him and Ortiz had a falling out. And so now he wants to go solo. TNA would be my pick for him. I could see him wanting to try NXT. And I think he would probably do well in NXT. He's not a small guy. He's actually a pretty thick dude now. He got himself all bulked up. Probably needs to trim down a little bit, actually, because he got himself probably a little too big after his surgery. But probably trim down a little bit. And he's a really good worker. I think he's a very like underrated promo, especially like from his. I covered his stuff extensively in TNA, and I thought that his promo work was awesome. So. Yeah, I think that he would work out well in NXT too. But it'll be curious to see where he's at. Hold on, we got a special guest. We need to get this guy on. Baby Huey. Yeah, 77 The Bone out of San Francisco, California. Dude, The Bone was my favorite. When I used to drive to work every day in Oakland, I would listen to The Bone. And on Tuesdays they would have Ta-Ta Tuesday. I'll have to explain to you what that is offline.
Oh, okay. My imagination's kind of filling in some of the details,
I'm sure they caused a lot of car wrecks. I'm just,
Okay. I do want to hear this later.
I'll explain offline. Okay. Next guy who appears to be gone from the company, although nobody has said official, is Matt Hardy. His contract expires at the end of the month. Oh. He's already been removed from the AEW roster. Matthew, one broken Matt Hardy, jobless here pretty soon. It looks like.
I don't know what you do with him. I mean, I think AEW was kind of the best place for him. Maybe he's looking to move into being a coach or something like that afterwards, which is, I don't know if that's what he wants to do, but I mean, he hasn't moved well in a long time. And, I think with Jeff being hurt again, it might be time for Matt to just kind of go into the sunset and like be a coach, either AEW or WWE. That's my thought.
Yeah, you know, there was a word, like I think like a year ago, we started hearing that maybe Matt was going to try to transition into a producer role, and he's pretty beat up. Like the guy is not moving too well. He's getting himself into better shape, but that doesn't mean like his knees are working, you know, his knees and his backs and his joints and all that stuff. So he's a pretty beat up guy. I know a lot of people are like pointing towards TNA. I don't think TNA would be a good fit for him, you know, unless he was just wanting to be a producer and like, you know, travel to the shows. I don't think TNA would do anything with him either. And I know WWE wouldn't at this point. So, you know, probably either retirement or just looking for a producer gig somewhere, or maybe even doing like his own indie promotion or something.
I mean, he's kind of getting close to 50, right? He's got to be at least 47, 48, something like that. So, I mean, he had a really good career, you know. He had a great comeback. I mean, the broken Matt really helped save that era of TNA, right?
Yeah.
And I think that I think he could go, I think he could bow out gracefully at this point and know that he had a really good career. And I'd like to see him passing the knowledge on to the next generation. I haven't liked watching Matt Hardy wrestle for a couple of years now. So
So this next one, I didn't have it on the list because it just broke, but should I hit the button? Actually, no, I can't hit the button because it's not official yet. So I can't hit the button. It's not official. But Josiah brings it up. Kevin Kelly, not only did he not announce Collision tonight, he has also been removed from the AEW website. PW Insider had a report earlier that it looks like he's gone, but nobody's wanted to confirm that. So they're not going to confirm it yet either. But it appears that Kevin Kelly, who was actively seemingly trying to get himself fired by publicly speaking out against Ian Riccaboni for daring to call him a QAnon guy for supporting a movie that is QAnon affiliated, right? What was the name of that movie?
I don't remember.
It was about like child predators, child trafficking. Like, here's the thing, guys. Like, wanting to end child trafficking, good. Okay?
Good.
Yes. I think that is an admirable thing. I am on your side. Yes. I think these Q people with all their demons and blood sucking, and then it all appears to be around like Democrats and Republicans that they just don't like. Like that's weird to me, and it seems like they have an agenda there, and they're using that to kind of cloud certain things that they're doing behind the scenes to try to get certain people elected. So they're using that as like an issue, a hot button issue, because like everybody agrees on the issue, right? And then it is a thing that is absolutely happening, but they're saying it's like centrally focused around this one group of people that they happen to want to vote against, right? You know what I mean? So that's the whole weird thing.
And if you disagree with them, then clearly you're one of those people.
Yes. Yeah.
You're like a lizard
person, like Billy Corbin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you shouldn't go full Q, man. You shouldn't go full Q.
Yeah,
it turns out Sound of Freedom, that's what it was. It turns out that if you try to get yourself fired, you may actually pull it off.
Yeah, so because him and Riccaboni have not gotten along in a while.
I think
Kevin Kelly had said some stuff like publicly about Ian, and then Ian went on the Voices of Wrestling Discord and kind of
buried Kevin. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. The screenshots are out there, so but if you want random celebrities to pop into a Discord, head over to Voices Wrestling Discord. I actually had a conversation with Ian in one of the threads one time. He's a very pleasant guy.
Yeah, Ian's a good
cool
dude.
Like this, yeah, it's kind of cool to see him in there. He just kind of like, unfortunately, spoke out in public about Kevin Kelly, and then the screenshots went around. So everything you say on the internet is fair games for everybody. You know what I mean?
I mean, can we be honest about this? Kevin, like, Ian Riccaboni is a much better commentator than Kevin Kelly. So, you know,
You know what? I like Ian Riccaboni. I don't think I agree with. I happen to really enjoy Kevin Kelly, and I think
Kevin Kelly is tremendous
in New Japan.
In New Japan, he's great. He's not been great in AEW. Ian Riccaboni has been much better in AEW.
Okay, I agree. I do agree with that. I thought Kevin Kelly was tremendous in Ring of Honor. I thought he was even better when he got to New Japan.
I agree. And with that.
One of my favorite commentary duos of all time, like right up for like again for me, right up there with like with Vince and Jesse, who's like one of my favorites, and you know all the different incarnations in WCW that I really loved. Is Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. I love them. I thought they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I was really disappointed whenever they stopped working together. So I wonder where he goes next, man. Cause like, I don't think WWE would bring him back. He's on the old side, right? I think he's probably like 60 by this point. Cause he used to work there like 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. TNA has Tom Hannifin. Tom Hannifin is fucking great. Like I don't think TNA needs a guy, you know? So like, what does he do?
I don't know. Like, cause I don't think what's it, Walker Stewart? That's the guy's name that the New Japan brought in?
He's good, too. Yeah.
He is good. He's 21. So, I mean, like, he's cheaper. I'd say it, but it's probably true. You always bring the young guy in because he's definitely cheaper. And, like, he's probably better. And here's the thing, though, is at some point, time passes us all by, right?
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's time to bow out. And it's when Kevin Kelly made the transition to AEW this year, it just wasn't as good. Like, he just didn't seem as comfortable, didn't seem as knowledgeable in the product. And it just hasn't worked out. And the times that Ian would fill in for him, there would be a new air in the show. Like, I think Ian and Caprice are one of the best. I mean, it's unfortunate, it's a show I don't watch very often, but I mean, like,
yeah,
I think they're one of the best duos in wrestling. So, I mean, like, the fact that you can get Kevin excuse me, if you can get Ian on and working with Nigel, well, I think Nigel's fantastic. So, I mean, like, I think that that's a good thing. Like, I mean, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way. Like, JR is one of my all-time favorites, but he lost his fastball a while ago. Like, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What else we got? Jungle Boy has been sentenced to the House of Torture in New Japan. I think that this whole Jungle Boy thing is endlessly fascinating. He fucking ruined the Punk deal for Tony Khan, aggravated Tony Khan's biggest star, and Tony Khan not only suspended his ass, but sent him to New Japan to be an underling for fucking evil in the House of Torture. That is probably, like, he'd been better off getting fired, honestly.
He's working. I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna have a different outlook on this than.
Oh, wait. Oh, come on, JD.
I got something.
Okay.
We have talked about, in this show specifically, we've talked about it for years, how AEW should leverage this New Japan deal to send guys over who are missing something so they can work in Japan and find that thing. I am of the mind that this is Jungle Boy Jack Perry's kind of a, okay, this is your learning excursion. If you can't figure it out here, you're never going to figure it out. And I'm knocking on the door that he's never going to figure it out. I think him and Sammy Guevara are in the same place, is that they were, a lot was expected from them early on in AEW, and they've been surpassed by a lot of other people. And it just kind of is. Like, I know people, like, I know especially some of the guys from the West Coast love Jungle Boy. I was like, oh, he's a really good athlete. You know, he can move real. But, I mean, like, he's personality-wise, he's never shined through for me in just about anything. I thought the heel turn could have been interesting, but it never really had a chance because he just had to push, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was of the opinion that, like, okay, he either needs to go away for a while, or he needs to turn heel. And when he turned heel, I thought it was fairly pathetic, honestly. You know what I mean? Like never, some people, when they turn heel, like, you can tell, like, okay, they're made for this. When Jack Perry turned heel, like, this guy is very clearly acting, right? This is just not him.
And I was willing to give him more of a chance than that, because I thought maybe he had to grow into the role a little bit, because sometimes that does happen. Sometimes guys have to grow. It just didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Sammy Guevara. Can everybody finally agree with me that Jack Perry and Sammy Guevara, those two specifically, were never part of the Four Pillars? Like, that was just something that people just said. Like,
MJF specifically.
I called them from day one the Fraud Pillars, because I was like, you, like, Pillars are the guys that, like, building the company. You guys were not it. Like, you guys are very good little wrestlers, right? But you guys were never, like, ever going to be top guys in the promotion. And I had it right. Like, Sammy Guevara got himself suspended because he fucking hurt Jeff Hardy. He also hurt Matt Hardy too at one point. So he's got something. I just wouldn't put him in against old dudes, to be honest with you, that like have too much balls. Like,
how many times has Sammy been sent home or suspended? Andrade tried to get fired. He's like, well, I'll just kill Sammy and no one will be angry about that. Like, no. Sammy's always at the source of controversy. There's always, remember when we talked about him going to TNA? That was what they were going to do. They were going to send Sammy to TNA to help work his angle and Impact at the time. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, we couldn't do it because Sammy's a fucking asshole. Like,
he was going to go there. He's like, okay, I'm going to go there, but you guys have to give me the X Division title and I'm not going to lose it. And they were like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, Sammy coming in like he's Harley Race.
Harley Guevara. That's kind of what he is, man. Like, he's been in this spot before. Like, there's always controversy with this guy, and it's never good. And he's never taken that next step with it. He's like AEW's version of the Big Show, right?
He just
flip-flops back and forth depending on what's going on. And, like, sometimes the crowd's into him, sometimes they're not. His wife's pretty hot. I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, he's gotten a million chances that he never deserved, right? And he rubs just about everybody the wrong way back there.
Except Jericho, apparently, because Jericho loves the guy. Jericho loves the guy. Yeah, so he got suspended for not for concussing Jeff Hardy, but because the match continued and he ended up hitting his finisher on a concussed Jeff Hardy. I think that Sammy Guevara is going to go down for that one. The referee should probably be reprimanded. The ringside physician and whoever was working Gorilla, which might have been Tony Khan, all need to take a hard look at how they're doing their operations, because that match should have just been stopped. Like, it's 2024. It's fake. You can just stop the match and then just write a story to get your way out of it. You don't have to have the match continue.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do I got here? Oh, I think we're getting close to the end. Okay, so let's go to the chat. We have not gone to the chat all night, man. And the chat finally, these guys are coming alive. King of the North says, "I'm late, but I'm here to make sure JD hasn't lost his mind."
Brother, you missed it. I went nuclear on a guy in the comments.
Yeah, and now I'm pretty sure he is no longer a subscriber to our channel. Hopefully he was just a Voices of Wrestling subscriber, not one of ours.
He wasn't on the Patreon. I wouldn't have done that to a Patreon subscriber, but
yeah, no, he's one of my Brace for Impact guys, but JD went apeshit on him.
I did.
Also making sure Mike is excited for Big Con versus PCO. I'm going to talk about that in my Sacrifice preview coming up. I think that's the main event. No, I'm just kidding. So TGV says Corgan can take Kevin Kelly. They can talk a little. Actually, I don't hate that.
That actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I actually really don't hate that. I really don't hate that. Godilla Brown is off the bed popping in to say welcome back, JD.
Thanks,
everybody loves JD. IO Productions. Ricky Starks was right about this four pillar BS. Ricky Starks. Josiah says sending guys on excursion to New Japan is smart. AEW really needs to do this more.
I agree.
Private Party, fucking Dante Martin, right? Dante and Martin. His brother, what's his brother's name?
Darius Martin.
Send those guys like the junior tag league, you know what I mean? Like send them for like 6 months to a year. Like you're not hurting anything. Just send them over and get them ready. Right. Brian Keith. Now that you're working with CMLL, like assign someone to work Friday night CMLL every single week, right? Just like, just team up with them. Like, hey, can you take this dude?
There'll be fist fights in the locker room to go do that. Go, hey, who wants to go work CMLL Friday nights in Arena Mexico? Dudes will be killing each other to get that. And they should. Just work, what a great opportunity.
And because that's where you, like, CMLL, people can say what they want about, like, psychology and Lucha Libre, and you guys are all full of shit. But one thing that CMLL does that I think probably is better than everybody is work the crowd, right? Because that's why when Roosh comes to America, everybody's, like, surprised that he's so good at getting heat. And I was like, well, it's because he did that for every week in Arena Mexico. Like, the guy is a fucking a genius heel, you know what I mean? He's great. Mm-hmm. A Private Party top flight work of the junior tag league would be fantastic. And then the King of the North says top flight in action Andretti to Arena. See, there you go.
That's like, a great idea.
We got all these guys, they're not doing anything. Send them to Japan, send them to Mexico, team up with Rev Pro in the UK and have them tour around the UK for a little while, and then just bring them back. Treat it like a territory system. Back in the day, you know, when you get your work, you're bringing a guy up for the territories, you would like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go send you to work for Vern. Like, you know, Bill Watts, like, you're going to go up to Crockett and Charlotte. Right. And then you're going to come back and learn a new hold. You know what I mean? Like, they need to do stuff like that. So I understand what they're doing with Jack Perry, but House of Torture, I don't know if that's going to be like so helpful. Like, they do, but is it the kind of heat that makes people actually want to watch their shows?
Well, in Japan, House of Torture is a well-respected act. Unlike Westerners aren't a big fan. I read that and I was like, good God.
Oh my gosh.
I was off Twitter for like a month and I came back this week and I'm like, oh, everyone's still stupid. I see.
Yeah. All right. A lot of you guys are here for some weird reason. You guys want to know, you guys want to talk about TNA Sacrifice. You want Mike's preview of TNA Sacrifice.
Let's do it. So, before we get out of here, let's do the preview.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say this and people are going to be shocked. I think this is probably the most stacked TNA Plus, Impact Plus, like monthly special that there's ever been. And I get the feeling this is actually going to be better than Hard to Kill.
Wow.
They really showed out, because JD, guess where they're doing Sacrifice this weekend?
I don't know.
They're actually doing it in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, home of one Scott D'Amore. Ooh. So I think they were like, you know, we got to come in real strong or else we're not going to sell any tickets.
Yeah.
And right now they're actually looking like they're going to sell out both nights. So they're doing Sacrifice. It's, you know, 750 tickets. That's good for TNA, right?
It's good for TNA, yeah.
Yeah, so Sacrifice, you know, Friday night, and then Saturday night, the TV tapings. Mm-hmm. The TV tapings look good, but we'll just check out Sacrifice. So first time ever TNA World Championship match. I can't believe these guys have never wrestled each other. Moose versus Eric Young.
Shocked
in Canada. Me. Okay, I have a hot take, and people are telling me that I'm full of shit, and that is fine. If I end up being full of shit, I'm just going to delete this from the episode. I'll go back and I'll pull the episode.
He will.
I think because they don't want to kill the town. And earlier, Josh Alexander's wrestling, and I think Josh is going to lose. I'll get to that in a minute. I can see Eric Young winning this one. I could see it. As a make good. Like, hey, look, I know we're sorry, but we shit canned your guy. Windsor is like a stronghold for TNA. Windsor's a stronghold for TNA. They love going there. Every time they go there, they typically sell out. And that's because Scott D'Amore, you know, promotes that town, right? And like the Border City Wrestling helps get people to the show. Mm-hmm. And so I could see them just doing like a gold watch title run for an aging Eric Young, and then they just flip it back to Moose when they go to Philly in a couple weeks. I could just see it.
I agree.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Nonzo says, Mike, you're full of shit. All right. Josiah, I'm much more diplomatic. I could see it. So thank you guys. And then TGV says, I think the NA show could go two ways. They could crowd booze the shit out of TNA, or TNA turns on and says, yeah. So I think they're going to want to send everybody home happy.
I could see it.
All right. Next we got my guy, Steve Macklin, taking on the IWGP global champion, Nick Nemeth. I don't think this is a title match, although some people had said it was. I don't think they've announced that. But Nemeth versus Steve Macklin, and I'm going to take Nick Nemeth on this one, because I think they're boosting Nemeth up to face Moose at Rebellion in April. Yeah. But yeah, I think that match should be very good. I think Macklin rules. So
Macklin rules. Nemeth's going over.
Yep. And then next we got a Knockouts World title, Jordynne Grace versus Tasha Steelz versus Zaya Brookside. Nobody gives a shit about this match. It's going to suck. It's going to be Jordynne Grace all day, every day. She's going to kill these two chicks.
Sure.
This is my second match of the night right here. Alexander Hammerstone, the newest signing of TNA. And JD and I'm glad that you're back on the show this week, because I've been hearing since Scott D'Amore got fired, it's because Anthem wanted to cut the budget. Well, there's been no evidence that that is the case. And in fact, the opposite has been true so far. And now they have actually signed Hammerstone to a deal, and they said a lengthy, long-term deal. And this is why I'm predicting that Eric Young will run away with the world title in the main event. Cause I think you can't bring in Hammerstone and have him lose his first two matches. I think he's got to beat Josh Alexander here in Canada. I agree.
And then you can do a rubber match later on. Yeah. Hammer gets the win.
Yeah. Six-man tag team clash. You got the Motor City Machine Gun, or Time Machine. Sorry, Time Machine. Kushida Time Machine. And the Motor City Machine Guns versus this is going to be fucking badass, actually. Now that I'm looking at this, because they just like revamped this match. Because before it was Kushida, Kevin Knight, and Sabin versus Mustafa Ali and the Good Hand Jobbers, Jason Hotch and John Skyler. But Ali earlier, and I haven't watched the episode yet, but Ali fired the hand jobbers and actually brought in the Grizzled Young Vets from NXT, who are pretty freaking awesome. So I think here's my prediction. I think Ali and the Grizzled Young Vets they get the victory here. And I am predicting that Alex Shelley and maybe even Chris Sabin, they've been teasing it. I think these guys go heel. I really do.
I could see it. I think you're right about that.
Yep. All right. World Tag Team titles. You got Ace and Bay versus Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers of The System. I think I'm predicting new tag team champions here, too. I think The System are getting a push. All right. No disqualification. Main event of the night. The People's Choice. The People's main event. This is the match that King of the North wants to see. He's, I believe, North, you're Canadian, right? So I assume PCO versus... Big Con, who's really overhauled his character. He screams more. So there you go. That's Big Con. He's a big lumbering fucking idiot. And PCO is Frankenstein. PCO hopefully is going to end this guy's career. That's what I'm thinking.
Sure. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Knockouts tag titles, MK Ultra versus Danny Luna and Jody Thread. MK Ultra takes that one. Countdown to Sacrifice. You got the Rascals versus Speedball and Trent Seven. I got the Rascals there. And then, so there you go. That was TNA Sacrifice. I really like the card, man. I think that's a very good card for a TNA Plus special.
There'll be some good matches. I really want to see Hammerstone and Alexander too. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That's the one that I go, I want to see that again.
Yeah, their first match I thought was pretty damn good. And then of course that trios match with Ali and the Grizzly Young Vets versus Time Machine should be rule. And I'm pretty anxious to see if Nick Nemeth can hang with Macklin. Can Nemeth really go? Can you really go? Like it's been a long time. I know he just went to Japan and I was not impressed with his match against David Finley.
But he was in there with David Finley.
That is true. And David Finley is ice cold right now. But Macklin can freaking go. You got to really bring it if you're going to be in there with Macklin. So I'm curious to see if he can actually hang with him.
Yeah, jury's out. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, everybody in the chat, I really do appreciate you being here. Please give us a big thumbs up. Make sure you're a subscriber. And if you want more of this content, head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I will be back this weekend with two Brace for Impact shows back to back. And then, of course, JD and I will be finishing our Sting's Greatest Rival series as we do a deep dive into his feud with the Young Bucks and talk about the amazing main event of AEW Revolution. We're gonna add that to our series. So thank you everybody for being here. I really appreciate you. JD, let's call it a night, my brother. Thank you so much for being back. We're so glad that you're back. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Hey, man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Hey, man, no rain from the track when we.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.